Hey, Sean Gaby here. Welcome to the Supernatural Leadership Podcast. Wherever you are listening from, we are glad that you have joined us. Please follow us on Instagram at Sean Gaby and at Supernatural Leadership Podcast, and or visit kingdomculture.ca or seangaby.com for more engaging content around topics we will be discussing. As well, you would love it if you would leave a review on this podcast, as it helps boost our ability to get this content out to more people. If you are new with us today, just want to inform you that we will be releasing a new episode on the first Wednesday of every month, and every so often, a bonus episode. So make sure to hit the subscribe button so you can keep up to date with every episode. There are so many great leadership podcasts out there, and truthfully, I love so many of them. So why Supernatural Leadership? Really, it's the difference between presence and principle, as we discuss in episode one. The very first episode of this podcast really sets the tone for the why and purpose for this podcast. I would encourage you to have a listen if you haven't already. Simply put, we believe everyone has a leader within them at some capacity. Whether you're a CEO, non-for-profit director, media mogul, church leader, pastor, small business owner, manager of teams, a dad, a mom, and well, the list could go on. If everyone has a leader within them, why not make that leader a little more supernatural? That's the heart and goal behind this podcast, helping you connect your natural with God's super, making your leadership a little more supernatural. At the end of every episode, there will be practical activations and exercises to help us grow and mature in the various areas discussed. Thank you for listening to the Supernatural Leadership Podcast. Hey everyone, welcome again to another episode of the Supernatural Leadership Podcast. Today we'll be diving into a really fun topic that I believe if we lean into will radically alter the way that we lead. Today's subject is leaning into the word of knowledge. Now, we're going to lay some foundation on this topic. I know we have many listeners from many different backgrounds, experience, and understanding of the reality of the supernatural. And for some, this concept of the supernatural is still really quite taboo, still out there, still mystical in nature. To others, it's normal and pursued already in various areas of leadership within their lives. Whichever place that you may land, whoever's listening, if your heart is open, I believe you'll get something from this episode, especially the next few. Now, I know this topic will stir you. I know it will cause your heart to pursue the deeper things of God in your life and leadership, but ultimately, our heart is that it would stir you to know God in a deeper, more real, experiential way, that your relationship with God would grow as a result of getting into topics like this. Now, we're going to be discussing in three separate parts this topic, which is one of the nine often misunderstood supernatural gifts of the Spirit that Paul the Apostle lays out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, called the word of knowledge. Now, most people listening today probably have decided already that these gifts are available and still active today. In the off chance that there is someone listening that is totally against this truth, that these gifts are still active today, maybe this episode will just be exactly what you need to open you up a little bit more to topics like this. This topic, like so many we will be talking about in months to come, I believe is absolutely crucial to begin to understand when it comes to moving in supernatural leadership. It applies to every sphere of influence, not just the church. Most people think about the gifts of the Spirit. Maybe they heard about them growing up. Maybe they've heard about them only as of recent. Maybe they've watched abuse in the church with them, and so they've kind of thrown the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak. But I wanted to say this, that these gifts go beyond the four walls of the church, and they touch every sphere of influence. Remember, the people are the church. And so we're talking about church. It doesn't matter if it's in four walls or outside of the four walls, but these gifts God gives us to really impact everyone's life around us, not just in a church service. So hopefully that is made clear, that at the onset, everything we're talking about in these podcasts really applies to every sphere of influence. And let me make something clear. We need a relationship with Jesus. Abuse with stuff like this that we're talking about, these types of topics, happens when there is no relationship with Jesus. This stuff is given a bad rap because people are often more gift-focused than relationship-focused. Let me put it this way. It's more about the gift than it is the character. And we can get really off, weird, and flaky when it becomes about the gift and no longer about character, no longer about the relationship that we have with God. Paul said, without love, you're annoying. That's my paraphrased version of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 when Paul said, you can do all these things, you can prophesy, you can, you know, have the greatest revelations on the planet, but if you have no love and you do those things without love, you are but a clanging cymbal. You are like a noisy gong. In other words, you are annoying. The reality of it is there is no love when there is no relationship. God is love. So let's get that out there before we nosedive into this topic. Now, as well, we need to lay a very important foundational truth for this whole message. And this is that. God is speaking to you all the time. This might be a foreign concept for many, but we need to get a hold of this reality, believe it, live it, walk it out, lean into it. God is always speaking to us. It says in John 10, verse 27, a life verse for me, Jesus said these words, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. The reality of it is we all hear the voice of God if we are in relationship with God. The problem has never been about hearing the voice of God. The problem has always been centered around recognizing when it is God speaking to us. And it's very important that we understand the difference between hearing and recognizing. I could hear somebody speaking, but I might not recognize who it is. I might not recognize what it is they're saying. I might not even recognize the language. It might be a brand new language I've never heard before. The same way that a baby has to get used to his mother and father's voice and even learning the language that's coming out of the voice. The problem's never been about the baby hearing the voice. It's always been about the baby recognize what exactly mommy and daddy are saying to him or her. So we need to get this out there at the onset of this episode. And we're gonna be exploring more of this in 2020. In episodes to come. So just want to encourage you to stay connected, stay tuned on this podcast, because I know it's going to really encourage your leadership. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, young Samuel in his pre-prophet days, you know, this goes to him too. He heard a voice three times. He heard the voice, Samuel, Samuel, but he didn't recognize who this voice was. And so every time he heard the voice, he went to his instructor, his mentor, Eli. And Eli was like, I didn't call you. I didn't talk to you. I didn't say anything to you. I've been over here. You've been over there. I'm not saying anything to you. Go back to where you were laying down. And so every time Samuel went back to his place and he heard the voice, Samuel, Samuel. And eventually Eli, his instructor, got a hold of what was really going on. He realized this was God speaking to Samuel, obviously in this time. Revelation was rare, it says, in those days. It wasn't happening as much, and so it was a dark time in that context. And so Samuel went back because of his instructor, Eli, said to him, you know, this time go back and respond, and he did, and obviously Samuel got a revelation or understood for the first time that what he was hearing was actually God. So he went from hearing to recognizing. So we have to get that out there, because it's very important that if we're going to journey this journey, we have to come into a place of faith that God is always speaking, we're just not recognizing. So hopefully this podcast and this episode specifically can be just one instructor in your life, like it was as Eli was to Samuel, helping you along with this supernatural leadership journey. Now, I have taught on this topic in the context of schools that I've developed for years now in a school setting. And because we have more time in a school setting, it allows me to answer most of the questions surrounding topics like this. But in this podcast, though, because of time, we are but scratching the surface, which is why this topic of the word of knowledge will be covered over the next few episodes. So I'm super excited about this. You guys, it's going to be an incredible time. Now, so many people write themselves off anytime we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, especially this one. This may not be the primary gift active in your life, but it definitely has a place. Paul gives us the invitation to go after the supernatural, to go after the gifts that God has made available to us. Let's look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. He says, pursue love, make love your highest goal, make love your highest aim, your greatest target. Then he says, and desire spiritual gifts. The word gifts actually is not in there in the original manuscript. So it's the word spiritual. Desire spiritual things. Desire the supernatural. Desire what's not just natural in your life, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, obviously, two chapters prior to this chapter is the chapter in chapter 12 about the nine supernatural gifts of the Spirit, to which Paul is now referencing. He's saying, don't forget love. We come out of the love chapter in verse 13. Love is sandwiched between these two. And we come out of the love chapter and he's saying, listen, I want to just remind us, pursue love, keep love at the highest priority in our lives, but don't forget to desire spiritual things, desire spiritual gifts. And that word desire literally means to go after aggressively, to be pursuing it with passion, to not just settle. You know, and as I said, you know, it does say, especially that you may prophesy in the latter part of this verse. Now, we're not talking about prophecy, but these two gifts do actually work in tandem with each other, which we will speak about a little later on. Now, this verse settles the whole issue for me. We are called to go after the supernatural gifts of the Spirit. He does not only say, go after what feels right, what seems easy, what you may lean towards, or what's more exciting to you, what's more comfortable to you, but he gives us an open invitation for them all, the word of knowledge being one of them. And like I said, he's saying, go after it with passion, aggressive, don't settle. I want all of this to be yours. When we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, so many people think about, you know, well, we better be careful. We don't, you know, just go after the things that God wants to give us. We have to make sure we keep him as the priority and the face of God, like Moses. Moses talked to God face to face. And we hear things like this and lots of fear around going after the gifts of the Spirit, even though Paul, you know, created an invitation for us all. Now, I heard someone say it like this. If we never go after the things God wants to give us by his hand, it could be likened to a mom or dad in the kitchen making cookies. Hear me out. They spend all afternoon making the most amazing cookies. They're not just any normal cookie. They are cookies with special powers to keep us healthy and strong. They're packed with vitamins, proteins, and healthy fats. This is like every sweet tooth person's dream. Probably a bad example, but listen, just hear me out anyways. If I come in and my mom and dad say, here you go, son, here you go, daughter. I made these special cookies for you that will do amazing things for your life and amazing things for those around you. They will benefit you greatly. If I turn around and say, no, I only want your face. I only want you. I don't want what's in your hand. I don't want what you've spent all afternoon preparing. I'm going to be missing out. In reality, to seek God is to seek all of who he is and all that he has for us. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom and everything that you need will be given. Let the kingdom be your priority. In other words, the reality of it is there is no kingdom without a king. Kingdoms do not exist without a king. There is no king without a kingdom. And so when we seek the kingdom, we're seeking everything that's apart and connected because it all represents him. His kingdom is a representation of him. So we have been given an invitation to seek first the kingdom. Everything that's connected to his kingdom is connected to him. We can't seek his kingdom without seeking him. We can't seek him without seeking his kingdom. So really, you know, I want to present this to you that we need to have a desire for it all. His face, his feet, his hands, everything that's in his heart to give us. The gifts of the Spirit are definitely up there on God's list of things he desperately wants his kids to enjoy. Now let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 8, which is our main two verses that we're going to be defining, and then you know, I'm going to be giving you practical examples on how to apply to your life. It says this, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge, which is the topic we are talking about through the same Spirit. Now, the word manifestation in the Greek, Now, forgive me for all those Greek scholars out there that are going to judge my pronunciation here, but the word manifestation in the Greek is the word phanerosis. When he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. In other words, every time these gifts are activated or are active in one's life, okay, it is manifested. And that word for manifestation is the word phanerosis, and it means a shining forth or a flashing out. Another way of defining it would be a supernatural projection of the Spirit or light that breaks through into the natural realm. Why do we need to operate in these gifts? Because there's darkness all around us. When you turn the light on in a dark room, what happens? The darkness is expelled. When we operate in these gifts, it's like putting light into dark situations, putting light into dark moments. There's darkness within people, around people. When we operate in the word of knowledge, we are releasing light over people. We're removing the dark things that are holding us back, that are causing blindness in our life, that are causing us to not walk the walk that we are called to walk. So it's so important that this stuff touches our leadership to make it supernatural. Let me give you a working definition for the word of knowledge. Knowing through divine inspiration a person's past and present situations or anything that would not otherwise be known except by supernatural means. Let me say it again. This is a working definition for the word of knowledge. Knowing through divine inspiration a person's past and present situations or anything that would not otherwise be known except by supernatural means. In other words, it's completely supernatural. This is not because you've studied and you're like, you know, the greatest scholar on the planet, theologian on the planet. This has nothing to do with study. This is completely supernatural, as all of the other eight spiritual gifts mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verses 8 to 10 are, okay? It's all supernatural. Let's get that out there into the open. Let me give you a few more scriptures, then I want to dive into some personal examples and give you some practical tools to apply this to your life. Jesus left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria, and he came to a Samaritan village in Sychar. And Jesus sits beside the well at about noontime, and there he meets a Samaritan woman. Now, in this context, Samaritans did not associate with Jews. Jesus was a Jew. They're hanging out. Jesus was already flipping the expectation and the culture on its head in that time frame. We find this story in John chapter 4, verse 1 to 26. He's sitting at the well having a conversation with the Samaritan. And he moves in what we call a word of knowledge. He says, go call your husband. The woman says, I don't have a husband. Jesus says, exactly, you are right in saying you do not have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the one that you have right now is not even your husband. This woman was blown away. She was like, who is this guy? They have a conversation. He ends up revealing to her that he is the Messiah. And of course, just before we continue on, Jesus walked in all of the gifts. I mean, he walked in it full on, and he's the model for us. And this kind of was a part of his everyday life. But this story is a great example of the outcomes of the word of knowledge. We read in verse 29, the woman goes back to her hometown saying to everyone that she meets after she had this experience with Jesus, come see a man that told me everything that I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? And people came from all over trying to meet him. And the Bible says in verse 39, it says that many Samaritans from that village believed in Jesus because of the woman's story. The people all believed that Jesus was who he said he was, the Bible says. This took place as a byproduct of the word of knowledge and operation. So important that we understand this. Now, in Acts 10, verse 19 to 20, we see the word of knowledge again. Now, this is right after verse 10 in chapter 10, where Peter has the trance. He falls into a trance on a rooftop, which is a topic for another episode, and he has a vision. And in the vision, gets a prophecy about what's to come for his life and ministry. Then fast forward to verse 19 and 20, it says, right after Peter the apostle has the vision, let me just rephrase that. In verse 19, it says, while Peter thought about the vision that he had or thought about the prophecy that he had in verse 10, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Verse 20, arise therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. This is a word of knowledge. And like I said earlier, this is an example of prophecy and the word of knowledge functioning in tandem together. Okay, so it's important that we kind of understand that everything works together. Everything has synergy. It doesn't always happen this way, but when it does, it has a purpose. So now that we painted a little bit of a biblical backdrop for what the gift of the word of knowledge is exactly and what it has the power to do, let me give you some more practical tools to implement and activate them into your life. This is where it's going to get a little fun. I know you'll be inspired and encouraged to pursue this stuff. So how do we go about leaning into this gift that we call the word of knowledge and letting it touch our leadership? I want to give you three things to consider. Number one, write this down. We have to pursue. If we want to lean into the word of knowledge, we have to go after it. We have to pursue it, okay? Of course, any good thing we have in life, not just concerning spiritual things, usually comes as a result of pursuit. This becomes and has to become a quest of all of us. This became a quest for me early on. In a previous episode, I probably shared a bit about my testimony as to what happened to me as a 19-year-old after I had my encounter with God on the highway that changed everything. I spent 6 months, 4 to 8 hours a day, getting into the Word, pursuing Him, going out onto the street, into the club, into the bar, sharing my story, seeing the supernatural take place. This was my beginnings. This was my origin story. Here's the thing. When you go after him, you can't help but want all that he has for you. Like I said earlier, you want all of him, his hands, his feet, everything. You want every part of him, everything he wants to give you. I believe it's God's desire for us to go after. I didn't even have to think about, you know, necessarily all the little idiosyncrasies of God's kingdom. I didn't have to think about all the little things, going after all the little things. I just wanted everything. And so I just was pursuing him. And if I saw it in the book, I saw it in the Bible, I wanted it. And obviously the word of knowledge was one of them. But I learned some lessons along the way. And lesson one is be careful what you ask for. Because he's so good, he's going to give it to you. And, you know, often we want things from God or things God to use us in certain ways. But we want it the way that we want it. And we want it when we want it. But the reality of it is, this is so important we get this, the supernatural life is an inconvenient one. Let me say it again. The supernatural life is an inconvenient one. Don't ever forget it. You will need to die to your reputation and pride very quick. If you want to operate as a supernatural leader in any sphere of influence, you are going to have to die to your reputation and die to your pride very quick. And realize that it's always going to be inconvenient. It's never going to be convenient. I remember I was like brand new in this, in relationship with God. My life had been changed, you know, just months into this. And I was working probably about 7 to 8 months, maybe 9 months into my journey with God. And I'd been pursuing this stuff. I'm praying, God, speak to me. I want to operate in the word of knowledge. I want to get insight. I want to hear your voice. I want to recognize your voice. And I was passionate. And I was working a job. I was doing landscaping. And I was in the back, digging a hole. And I was in a new development. So all the backyards were exposed. There was no fences being put up yet, except for the house beside me where I was working. There was this guy putting up a fence. And so I'm digging a hole. I can see this guy, you know, and I'm just doing my thing. And remember, I had prayed, God, speak to me. You know, God, use me. You know, use me in powerful ways. And so I'm looking at this guy. I'm digging my hole. He's putting up a fence up. This guy was like this big biker dude, you know, full of tattoos and just kind of looked a little bit more rough. And I looked a little rough. So, I mean, it wasn't like it was an issue, but this guy, you know, just was a little more rough looking in nature. And I'm digging this hole and I hear God speak to me. I get a word of knowledge. At that time, I probably didn't decide in my mind this was a word of knowledge. I hear God speak to me and he says, he has a friend named Janie. She's suicidal. Tell him to pray for her. That was what I heard. Now I'm thinking in my mind, why would I tell someone that maybe doesn't even believe in prayer or believe in God that he should pray for his friend? I'm thinking to myself, like, how am I going to do this? You know, my boss is in the front of the house. I'm in the back, you know, he's going to fire me if he finds out that I'm like, you know, taking his time away and having a conversation with some random guy beside us. But I'm thinking all this in about 15 seconds, but it was very clear. He's got a friend named Janie. She's suicidal. Tell him to pray for her. So I'm praying like we all do. God, give me a confirmation. You know, I'm brand new in this world. So I'm saying, God, give me a confirmation. Give me a confirmation. Within about probably 30 seconds, maybe even less, he, you know, the radio announcer came on the stereo that this guy had in the backyard. The radio announcer came on and said on the radio, this was within about 20 to 30 seconds later, after I'd prayed for confirmation, the radio announcer comes on and says, and the next song is Janie's Got a Gun. You know, the Aerosmith song. And so here I am, I'm thinking, I'm like, that is a crazy confirmation. I have a word about him, has a friend named Janie, she's suicidal. Within 20 to 30 seconds, the announcer on the radio comes on and says, the next song for today is Janie's Got a Gun by Aerosmith. So here I am, God's using Aerosmith, God's using the radio, and still, like we all do, we're like, God, give me another confirmation. Obviously, at that point, I was like, I knew it was God, but my flesh, I still wrestle with it. I was thinking about all the things, the realization that I might get fired, all these different things were spinning through my head. I was new in applying this stuff in my workplace still. So anyways, I made a decision that that when I came back, because I was called to the front yard to do some work by my boss. I made a decision that when I got back to the back, I'd give the guy the word. Now, the reality of it is when you're pursuing this stuff, it's all about timing. And so many people want things on their time frame, on their timeline. That's not how the kingdom works. And so when I got back to the backyard, this story doesn't really go, you know, the way that I wanted it to go. Neither is it that encouraging, but I say it because we need to talk about the failures so that we can learn from them. I come back to the back. I'm going to give the word. I'm convinced. I know it's God. And I look, and the guy's in the front yard of the neighbor's house getting into his truck and pulling down the driveway. And I felt like this weight of, I missed it. I missed this moment. I knew it was God. I missed it. I prayed. God spoke to me. And yet I didn't lock into his timing. It was a learning experience for me. And it changed the game. And I say this because it's so easy to celebrate all the wins, all the successes. Look at the cool word that God gave me or whatever. But sometimes we need to see the failures as well to learn that this is a normal part of growing. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss the timing sometimes. You're going to miss even maybe how you communicate the word or the way that you communicate the word. You're going to miss it, and it's okay. Keep pursuing. Keep going after this stuff. You probably heard another episode I talked about one of my experiences when the word of knowledge first started to occur in my life, and it was when I was living in the U.S. I was actually living in Minnesota, and we were going into this coffee shop every Friday. And this coffee shop, you know, was a sort of the type of shop that attracted a lot of, let's just say, you know, out there people, out there creative people. And I went in, before I went into this coffee shop, I prayed, and this was in a time frame where I was probably about 11 months walking this journey. I was still a 19 years old. And I was saying, God, like, I want to go even deeper. And I would spend hours before I'd go out into these moments asking God to speak to me. And I'd have my journal out and I'd write down what God would speak to me. And I remember this one day I spent hours before I went into the coffee shop. And I had this vision. I had this vision in my mind's eye. And this is the type of thing that we're going to dive more into in future episodes, of how to understand and interpret visions, understanding, you know, how they come, the impressions. But I'm just going to give you sort of a little bit of my journey. I had this vision, and I saw this girl wearing a black shirt, pale looking, sitting at a round table with blonde hair. And in this vision, I just knew the first letter of her first name was J, and that she moved from a different part, a different state to come here, that she was in her late teens. That when she was 5 and 6 years old, she was abused by her father. And I believe in this encounter that I had with God, he spoke to me and said he was going to heal her of the mental and emotional baggage that she's still carrying from the abuse as a child. And so, you know, I went in there and I wrote that all down on my journal, wrote it all down so I'd remember because it was very detailed. And I was there for a few hours and eventually I'm on the top floor of this coffee shop and I'm walking around looking for maybe where this girl could be. And here I stop in front of this table, a round table, like my vision. There was two girls. One of them was blonde, pale looking, like my vision, wearing a black shirt. She was sitting at the round table and I just felt from God this was the one. So the only way you know is if you try. And so I went up to her and said, hey, I don't know what you believe, but I believe God is real and he's changed my life. I'm from Canada and you've never met me before, but I just believe God showed me you in a vision before I came here. I'm going to read it out of my journal so you can see that I wrote it down. I'm going to read it and tell me if this makes sense to you. So I started reading it. You know, you're in your late teens. You moved from a different state to come here. You know, the first letter of your first name is J. You know, when you were 5 and 6 years old, you were abused by your father and a few other details. And she starts to cry. And her friend looks up at me and says, how do you know this? Are you a psychic? And obviously I said, no, but I know the greatest medium ever. His name is Jesus. He is the bridge between heaven and earth. He is the one that makes all things new. I begin to share the story of who Jesus is, the gospel message to her. And I got down and prayed for her. I said to the girl, her name was Jennifer. First letter of her first name was J. She moved from Buffalo to come here. She was 18. Everything in the written down in the journal was 100% accurate. She began to cry. I said to her, I said, you just witnessed by a demonstration that Jesus is the real deal. And she opened up her heart right there to Jesus, gave her life to Jesus. We prayed for her in the coffee shop. And that testimony, it spread like wildfire. And it created quite a buzz in this coffee shop. So weeks after, we just saw some incredible things as a result of this one story. It was kind of like a John 4, you know, Samaritan at the well type experience. So I share that to say that this was a part of the beginning journey of my life into diving into the word of knowledge. So number one, we have to pursue. Number two, we got to position ourselves. Now, we have to give God time to speak. I said it in the testimony I just shared that I spent sometimes hours before I'd go out and just to listen to what God wanted to say, what God wanted to do. You know, when I meet with leaders in business or government or within whatever sphere, or if I'm speaking at a corporate context or speaking at a new church or an event or a conference, I'm always asking before I go into these moments and positioning myself, saying, God, is there something that you want to say? God, is there a word of knowledge? Is there a word of wisdom, a word of prophecy that you want me to give to these people or to this group of people? And so the same goes for just being out, you know, whether you're at a coffee shop, at a restaurant, a grocery store, or whatever place you find yourself in. This applies everywhere that you are. I want to give you some more moments of when I was first learning. And when I was first leaning into this gift in the early stages, I would practice all the time when I was out on the street, when I was at a local coffee shop in my city. And incredible things would begin to happen. God would show me things about, you know, managers of coffee shops and business leaders. And I'd go into the bar and I'd be prophesying over the bartender. And I just would practice this wherever I would go. I remember when I was still learning this, I was out at a coffee shop locally in a different city than I live in normally. And I was out with this person I did not know. And I was sitting across from some people I'd never met before. And I was looking across the table and I was praying. Actually, I wasn't really even praying. I was just having probably a conversation with God. You know, is there anything you want to do? And I saw the word restaurant flash over this woman's head 3 times. And this was a vision that I had. So I'm looking at her and superimposed over her head. It's completely supernatural. This is not a natural thing. I'm seeing the word restaurant flash over her head 3 times. And so I looked at her and I felt that God had said to me in this moment, there's something about a restaurant. God wants to confirm it to her. This is going to be a good thing that her and her husband need to hear, that whatever restaurant opportunity is ahead of them or had been presented to them, it's actually a good thing, that it was going to establish them. It was going to bring clarity to their lives. And so I shared this word with them. They did not know who I was. And they looked at me and said, this is crazy. We have been literally pondering this opportunity of buying into shares, some sort of shares, some sort of investment into the a restaurant business that's been presented to us, and we weren't sure if it was the right thing to do. And you just, I don't know how you knew this, you just gave us what we needed to take the next step. This super encouraged me because I was like, at this point, I was like, I'm 20 years old. I'm like brand new, still into this whole world of the word of knowledge. And I'm just constantly in a place of pursuing and positioning myself wherever I am. If I remember one time, a businessman, very successful businessman, we were just on a phone call and I was about to have a meeting with this guy. And he says to me, I have an opportunity that I'm about to step into. Can you please pray and ask if God shows you anything? And so obviously, yes, for sure, I'm going to position myself. And I remember it was this guy, the business opportunity was not connected to the current success and current business that he was currently in. But I went back and I prayed before I met with him. And I had a vision of a whole bunch of trash in front of the door. And I felt like unless something happened with that trash, that the door, he was not going to be able to go through the door. And so I shared this vision with him, and a whole bunch of stuff went down with this opportunity that did not allow him to actually go into the opportunity ethically because of the current business that he was involved with. And so as a result, the door remained closed. And that was a confirmation to him that he was not supposed to go and walk through this door. And so you just never know. Always position yourself, pursue, position. You'll never know what God's going to do. As a result, the relationship and the trust with these people, it just goes to another level because they trust that, hey, you're in their lives for a reason, to pray, support them, believe with them, and also sometimes be godly counsel for them. This is one of the ways that we grow in our supernatural leadership. So we have number one, pursue. Number two, position. Number three, persevere. Our last point, persevere. Why do we need to persevere? Because we're going to make mistakes in this stuff. It's a part of it. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult, even confusing at times. I can't tell you how many stories. I'm telling you some success stories right now, but there's been so many times when I feel like I missed it, or I feel like I didn't interpret it right, or I feel like it didn't come out right. Remember, you're learning a new language. You're tapping into something unfamiliar. It's going to stretch you, but ultimately it will grow and mature you in more ways than you can expect. And especially as I've ventured into, you know, getting from the Lord, you know, from God in the context of the word of knowledge, like names, dates, phone numbers, street names, details like that, it's a whole other game. And sometimes the way that we understand what we're hearing or recognizing doesn't always get interpreted properly. But I do want to encourage all of us that some of the greatest moments happen when we least want the moments to happen. Some of the greatest moments happen when we least expect it. In fact, some of the greatest words of knowledge that I've seen impact people's lives happens when I don't even feel like talking to people. And I just had an experience recently where I was in Venice Beach only just a few weeks ago. And this is not a super crazy out there word, but it was in one of those moments. I was tired. It was in the late morning. My wife and I were just had some free time to spare before some meetings that we were a part of. And we were walking down the street and the stores were still closed. And as we were walking, we stopped by this one store, looked in the window, and I guess the guy that was opening the store was there, saw us. So he opened the store early for us. We went in, got into conversation. Now, I was not in the mood to have a conversation. I'm just being honest. I was not in the mood at all to talk, to share, you know, why we were there. I wanted to look at clothes and not even buy anything. I'm just kind of looking, still late morning. And so we get to talking. He asks us why we were there. We tell him, you know, who we are, what we're about, what we do. And so there, here I am. I could feel my wife, you know, expecting me now to share my story, expecting me to share my testimony. I did not want to share anything. I was just tired, just to be honest. I just wanted to relax and not get into deep conversation. But I find myself, okay, you know, I'm persevering. You know that I know God well enough to know that when I don't want to do something, that's usually when God's power is made even stronger. And so I start leaning into this. I start leaning in, sharing my story. You know, it says in Revelation 12, verse 11, that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb or the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. There's power in sharing what God has done and who he is in our lives. And so I'm sharing my story. And even as I'm sharing it, I'm like, I kind of just want to end the conversation. You know, when I was 18, about to turn 19, I had this encounter. God visited me in my car on the highway, changed the game. I could tell, kind of got his attention a little bit. This guy was kind of like he was an older, probably in his mid-40s. You know, you could tell he had some years on him. He kind of looked run down a little bit, been kind of had a rough life. You know, he was like a full-on punk rocker dude. And I understood that world because that was me. And so it was a good conversation. And then I felt like the Lord was saying to me, lean into the word of knowledge right now. I want to give you something. So I started leaning in. So, you know, I had this word about, it was kind of general, about who he was and about his life and about some of his strengths. And you could tell that he was sitting in his chair right now at his desk, kind of listening. He's like, yeah. In his mind, you could tell that he was like, oh, you could have just made that up, you know. Then I had a word about his family. And you could tell he kind of started listening in a little more. And then I had a word about his sister. I didn't even know he had a sister, but I had a word about his sister. Then I got his attention. And you could tell that he started to get to lean in a little bit more. But at first you could tell he was kind of like, yeah, you could have just, you know, made that up and, you know, just, you know, kind of been right because you just read me or whatever, you know? And then I looked at him and I said, who's N? And literally you watched this guy. He literally like didn't fly back, but like moved back into his chair. And you could tell like all eyes were on me in that moment, that I completely had his attention. And, you know, interestingly enough, was the manager, the owner actually of the store who he was in, let's just say, not so healthy relationship with. And the word went on. I began to give him a word and God began to speak to me about, you know, the importance of what Ann was and is in the season of his life. But also it was some other stuff that I shared with him that really blew him away, that caught his attention. I share this to say, in this moment, this guy has an encounter with God. He has an encounter. I ended up praying for him. We prayed for him. Michelle and I prayed for him. He has this encounter with God. He's aware now for the first time, probably in his life, that wow, like there must be a God that cares about the details of my life. And, you know, this wouldn't have happened if I didn't lean in, if I didn't lean in when I didn't want to lean in. I persevered through it. Sometimes you just got to open up your mouth and let God fill it. And I say this to you because all of these things, I give you 3 points. Number one, we have to pursue. Number two, we have to position ourselves. Number three, persevere. These are 3 keys in leaning into the word of knowledge in our life. And I think it's so important that we get a hold of these keys if we want to lean in a little more and grow ourselves and mature ourselves in being a more of a supernatural leader in whatever sphere we're called to occupy and influence. Now, let me just give you a little bit of review, some notes here to remind us of some of the takeaways. God is always speaking to you. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. This stuff is given, this concept of the supernatural, talking about the gifts of the Spirit, is often given a bad rap because people are more gift-focused than relationship-focused. Paul said, without love, you're annoying. There is no love when there is no relationship. Paul gives us an invitation to go after the supernatural, to go after the gifts of God that he has made available to us. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 8, but the manifestation, the phanerosis of the Spirit, the supernatural projection of light of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge. We defined the word of knowledge as knowing through divine inspiration a person's past, present situations, or anything that would not otherwise be known except by supernatural means. Remember, it's completely supernatural. So how do we go about leaning into this gift and letting it touch our leadership? 3 things, like I've already said, Pursue number one, the supernatural life is an inconvenient life. Don't ever forget it. Number two, position yourself. Give God time. Position your heart. Lean in. Number three, persevere. You're going to make mistakes. It's a part of it. It will be hard. It will be difficult, even confusing at times. Remember, you're learning a new language. You are tapping into something unfamiliar. Now, I want to give you an activation. Remember, if you hear all this stuff and you don't activate it, you're going to lose it. It won't transform your life. I want to give you three quick activations over the next month to practice and implement in your life. Number one, get with a group of about three people that you trust and ask God for one word. A word that connects to something in their past or present. Make sure it's encouraging. Number two, before you go out in the morning, ask God to show you something about someone's life. You know, just take some time. You know, maybe it's gonna be the person you encounter at the gas station or the grocery store or at your workplace. Just take some time in the morning on your way to work. God, give me something for somebody ahead of time that I'm gonna encounter today, that I'm gonna connect with. Number three, give God time. Take 20 minutes out of your day every day just to listen. Let him speak to you. And of course, when he does, write it down. Thank you once again for listening to the Supernatural Leadership Podcast. I hope part one of our Word of Knowledge, leaning into the Word of Knowledge, impacted you. I hope it transforms you, believing that this will be something that you begin to operate in your leadership in the next season of your life if you do not already. Remember to practice the activations. I know they'll be a benefit to you. And please rate this podcast, subscribe to it, share it with your friends, write a review. It helps boost the reach of this podcast. And just want to say thank you again for listening. If you want more information, follow us at Sean Gaby on Instagram, as well as at Supernatural Leadership Podcast for more content on social media. God bless all of you. We love you. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time. If this podcast has been an investment into your life and or impacted you in any way, we are incredibly thankful. We would love for you to join us in being able to continue bringing leadership content like this every month. Of course, it does not come without a cost, and our heart is to continue bringing you more improved quality and content. If you would like to partner with us with a one-time financial gift or to sign up as a monthly partner, you can do so at kingdomculture.ca. Thank you for listening to the Supernatural Leadership Podcast.